presenter is Lou Berry from the University of Ottawa. Why virtuality is not the intangible. Understanding processes of becoming a crystal through Deleuzean lenses of actuality and virtuality. There's another subtitle. An intermediate process of crystallizing everyday life.
I hope I will be able to actually just hold on a second here because
we're getting more time.
Okay.
Get me to say the first part.
This is not what I wanted to stream here. Okay, nice to see so many faces here this morning. Good morning. Nice for coming. We have 20 minutes, right? Okay. I'm going to try to do it very fast. I'm going to try to read in 10 minutes. And then I have two clips that I want to screen, okay? This is from adaptation. But maybe I should start now. I have a very bad habit that I hate reading my old people. Can I stop the sound? Is it possible? Oops. Go to screen. Okay. And now, how can I switch the screen here? Who knows how to do this?
Right here.
Oh. What is that microphone?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I totally had it.
Hold on. Let me just. Okay. Let me just see. I'm going there. Okay, now. Okay. Good. Okay. These papers draws on the Deleuzean theories of crystallization, meaning that I'm going to try, actually, you have this abstract in your program. What I'm going to try to do, actually, I'm pleased that Anne spoke without saying the name of Deleuze, but she actually used terms such as individuation, which I got from Deleuze, and also how Jung also mobilized the present of the absence or the virtual presence, which is very interesting. So my own drive here this morning will be to crystallize, right? To crystallize those differences or what Gilles Deleuze calls multiplicity or multiplicities. I have a book here. This is from Dialogue. Have you ever heard about these little books? Dialogue. In these versions, this is a pocket version, okay? Deleuze has two appendices, right? They are about, I believe, 7 pages, very short, and he's talking about, this is first part, 1.5 page or 2 page, and then the second part is 2.5, and he's talking about the process of crystallization. Or actuality and virtuality. Okay? In this little one, this is the Charm Flammarion version in French. Okay? So if you want to understand really what I'm going to talk about here, or what is the process of crystallization, I took it from this. Now, maybe first thing to pay respect to who is virtual is not what is the virtual, and to pay respect to Rob, actually, to chase our host here of this panel. We cannot today talk about the virtual without recalling his book. And this is the host of the panel. And the virtual, 2003, I believe so. Chase's book engages the notion of the virtual within many controversial cultural notions, subjectivity, agency, structure. Theoretical frameworks and methodological positions, space, temporality, liminality, history, etc., modern and postmodern, etc. So Schiller's book locates the notion of virtual inside and outside multiple spaces and practices of contemporary life. As a result, most reviewers of Sheets' book, Virtual, have been very praised for the ways in which Sheets are historically contextualized. We heard this term yesterday from the lecture. from Jacqueline. Contextualize, right, this notion with previous form of technology and culture. I'm very critical about how he fails to underline the radicality of this notion. And I'm taking this from Douglas and Thomas particularly. You have these critics on this review online. So it is within this absence that I pose the question of this paper, who's virtual, not what is the virtual. Specifically, how could we make sense of the virtual in our multiple contemporary everyday life practices? Right? And to answer this, I suggest two possibilities. First, we have to move away from the question of the real. Right? Whether it be existing or abstractive real. Right? To get back to everyday life practices. Particularly those practices that could help us mobilize the performative formation of our identity. And this is where I move a little bit away from Jung, from the representative to the performative practices of identity. Because I think that we still need to analyze practices of identity in our everyday life, right? Practices of identity, right? Because we tend to park these practices away, right, from understanding them as true object of knowledge, right? So this performative has become very interesting again now in this particular. Precisely, I want us to focus on one of the central questions she has posed for this panel. To what extent can the cultural be understood as a dialectic of the material and virtual, mediated by ritual forms and performativity? While for Scheel, virtual words become important where they diverge from the actual and when the actual is ignored in favor of virtual, at which point are more real than real? The question is just not dialectic. This is where the question is not directed, solely resting on some premises articulated with adversary conceit and deduced contradictory consequences. I do believe focusing on that level of questioning simply shifts the analysis back to the question of what is the real as an existing, tangible, tangible materiality, and what is the virtual as an existing intangible abstraction. Right? Even the use of Victor Turner's famous dictum of liminal virtuality, which suggests that liminality is between stages of in the life process, located between the urban civilized members and the wildness nature outside, I'm quoting Scheel, does not suffix anymore, because within most new modes of practices and of being that take place in even through the so-called virtual reality, the epistemological legitimacy of the liminoid space rests on utopian sensation. I need everyday life practice. I need to touch. In my own cultural analysis, I need to touch. And so what am I doing? Elsewhere, nearby the same liminal space, I do believe inside and around that space, virtualized power relations are still moving on, working, structuring, and attempting to determine everyday life practices. I believe that this is truly what the presentation actually show, how even our space, our city, is still structured, organized. The power relation is there, what Arndt's study has called protocols, right? I see this power relation of articulating our space. And through this observation, Shields is right in noticing that today the virtual is meant to signify absence, unreality, or non-existence. Especially because the relation of power governing our everyday life are seen as virtualized absent. The relationship governing, what I call governing mentality, are seen as absent. They are virtualized, But where are they? Are they governing us in everyday life, right? Yeah, but it could not really be so. My second observation is that the notion of mediation as a site of multiplicity is not enough to understand ritualized form of practices, especially because those practices related to culture, or because the culture is always a space of ideological struggle, right? Not of mediation a priori. For me, culture is a space of struggle. It's a space within which you see again and again this relation of power, these protocols at work. Right. So this is, and I got this from Grossberg. I believe that we need to go back to not to essentialism, but at least to understand the ways in which, in every specific context, we can find the same articulation. And by saying the same articulation, we are not fixing the meaning on that particular. We are trying to articulate, right, what is going on. What is going on right now in this room is that I'm using technology to do my presentation. Am I against technology or not? No, technology is not limited anymore to that essential definition of the means to an end. It is also something allowing us to reveal something else, something going on beneath. Right? But it's going on there simultaneously, at the same time. And that's very powerful. I think these three papers are talking about this case. So, I want to get back to the ground. Externalizing our interiority, how and why. Our language externalizes the meaning that we are making of the world, and nothing meaningful could exist outside this meaning, outside this language, I mean Stuart Hall. Our language can only externalize the meaning that is interior to it, the meaning that is located beneath our exteriority. And I want to move this whole question a bit away and then ask to ourselves, what is the virtual? Whose virtual? Without language, the meaning of the object at hand there, the virtual, could never be exchanged. The virtual should just be relocated between what we or what our relationship with language defined as the apparent other side of the virtual, that is, the actual. We cannot talk about the virtual without talking about the actual. We cannot talk about the virtual without taking into account what Stuart Hall calls our share map. And this share map is organized in certain way. It's organized, it's pushing us to say the virtual is with the actual, not with the real or the unreal, not with the present or the absence, is with the actual, right? The virtual could only be meaningful because the processes through which human beings make sense of the world have posited the virtual with the actual, not the material, not the real. The latter two notions are refuted in this case because their premises are on the level of sophistication or heuristic and or metaphysics. I don't know about material. I know I can talk about materiality. I'm going to have two materiality of images. I can show you the materiality at work. I cannot talk about the material and as a metaphysical substance. I don't know. I'm not a specialist for that, for sure. The virtual indeed could only be contextually part of, opposed to, inside or outside, and or around the actual. Why the virtual? Why the actual? With the actual. And this is why the virtual with the actual. And this is where Deleuze get back into my work of crystallization. Between the virtual and the actual, there is and could not be no other space. And this is the virtual and the actual could only become meaningful within the language of their multiplicity, taking place in between their interconnectedness. all multiplicity involve elements of the actual and of the virtual. There is no such thing as the actual because every actual element consists of virtual. So virtualized elements are only virtual because we are uncertain of their determination. And this is where uncertainty or our sensitive limit. I don't have time to go through. I see my time is running. And so this is where individuation instantaneously at the same time crystal. This is where you have the coalescence. This is where you have this this kind of meeting point of differences. And I want to say we can, you people have been, I'm sure all of you watch some time to time TV and you saw Hurricane Katrina. I do believe you all know about the situation before of black in the South, but this situation was, you can say, virtualized. This is what Deleuze is talking about. But this situation has been exposed, then it's actualized. But it is virtualized in your own mind, you know about it. Right, you know about it. And to understand how this situation can go, look at this. This is what fast, instantaneously, it is going very fast. You can fix, you can know what kind of meaning, what kind of fast, unthinkable, ongoing particles. You can really know what is going here. The last thing from Deleuze is becoming. Is neither to imitate nor to do like, nor to follow a model of justice or truth. Howsoever, there is not in the original term where we initiate our journey, nor where we end up or should end up. Becoming is not a phenomenon of imitation nor of assimilation, but rather a double capture. A double capture. And the picture you have here actually shows this double capture. Double capture. What you see is becoming crystal, the bee and the orchid. And the film adaptation from which I took this. Actually, I can say this is a plagiarism of the Deleuzian thought, right? So let us see this. I still have other experiences for you, but I want you to see the clip and to see that at work.
Hungry Francisco Pedale. You, God, Darwin wrote about this one. Charles Darwin, some moose. You see that nectary all the way down there? Darwin hypothesized a moth with a nose 12 inches long and pollinated. Everyone thought it was a loon. And it turned out they found this moth with 12-inch proboscis. Proboscis means nose, by the way.
I know what proboscis means.
Well, let's not get off the subject. In the fishing contest, point is what's so wonderful is that every one of these flowers has a specific relationship with the insect that pollinates it.
There's a certain orchid look exactly like a certain insect, so the insect is drawn to this flower. It's double. It's soulmate that wants nothing more than to make love to it. After the insect flies off, spots another soulmate flower and makes love to it, doesn't pollinate it. Neither the flower nor the insect will ever understand the significance of their lovemaking. And how could they know that because of their little dance, the world lives? It does. Simply doing what they're designed to do, something large and magnificent happens. In this sense, they show us how to live, having only what already you have is your heart. Now, when you spot your flower, you can't let anything get in the way.
Becoming is neither to imitate nor to do like, nor to follow a model of justice or truth. Howsoever, there is not an original term where we initiate our journey, nor where we end up or should end up. Nor are there two concepts that interchange. virtual and actual. For example, the question, what you are becoming is particularly stupid. That's not from me, it's from Deleuze. Just as someone becomes, what he becomes change as much as he does. I'm jumping back. The bee and the orchid give the example. The orchid seem to cast an image of the bee, but there is in fact a bee orchid becoming, and an orchid bee becoming. A double capture, because what each of them become is less a changing of the one who is becoming. The bee becomes part of the genital organism of the orchid at the same time as the orchid becomes the sexual organism for the bee. At the same time, this is where the process of the actual and virtual, it is not about intangible, it is not about the real, it is about fast moving particles, it is about time. Right? And this is where cinema, I do believe, I use cinema to actually mobilize, to understand this complex epistemological articulation of time. But I use cinema because I believe in cinema we can, the technology of cinema can allow us to mobilize this kind of complex theoretical frameworks. Thank you very much.